Please be seated. And today it's an all-age service. Our Sunday club will get going in a couple of weeks' time. So that just means that we're staying all together. But I would love it. If you are a bit smaller and seeing me at the front here is a bit tricky, we've got a pew that is empty, but we've also got a nice carpet. So if you'd like to come up, you'll be able to see. I've got a few things to show you. Which I'll explain more in a few seconds. But what I wanted us to do really before we have our Bible reading, come on, have a seat, find somewhere to sit, find a spot, any spot, that's great. Before we have our Bible reading, we're starting a brand new series in the book of Philippians. So I wanted us to set the scene. I wanted us all, from youngest to oldest, to imagine that we were hearing this for the very first time. So if I could have the slide there, please. Wonderful. So we have to, first of all, go to a place called Philippi, okay? So can you see the map up there? So you can see where we are there, Sherborne St. John's. We're making the journey. Now, if we were taking a car, which we wouldn't have, it'll take us about 30 hours to get there. It's about almost 1,800 miles away, so it's a long way away. But let's imagine we've got there, okay? We're in Philippi now. And then we need to imagine, we're probably not in a building like this. And I'm probably, maybe not sat, I'm going to sit down with you. Because most of the people there would have been probably sat in the floor like the children are actually. And we would have been in someone's house rather than a building like this with pews. Maybe Lydia's house, in fact. Some of you might have heard of Lydia. Because we're, as well as go to Philippi, we have to go back in time. So that if I could have the next slide, that would be really helpful. We're going all the way back to the year 60 AD. Does anyone know what year this is that we're in? Anyone know what year it is?
2023.
Nearly. Well done. Yeah, 2023. So you can imagine we have to go a long way back to get to the year 60. I think there might... Is there one just before that? Don't worry about it. It's fine. So we're the year 60. We're in Philippi. And we're gathered around because it's about 10 years ago that our church actually first started. And it was started by a man called Paul, the Apostle Paul. He arrived in our city, in our town, in Philippi. And he arrived and he actually caused a bit of an uproar. He met someone called Lydia first. We're in her house. She heard the gospel from Paul. He came with this message that it's not Nero that's in charge. So Philippi is a sort of Roman colony. Nero was the king, if you like. But Paul was basically saying, no, Nero's not actually the king. He's saying Jesus is the king. Jesus, and the good news about Jesus, the gospel is that not only is he king, but he came to rescue us. He died for us so that when we trust him, we can be rescued. We can be saved. We can have peace with God. We can have a hope. So there's amazingly good news, but actually it caused a stir. And there was a slave girl that he freed, but their owners got really upset and he ended up in prison. And then there was an earthquake. Does anyone know what an earthquake is?
Yeah.
What's an earthquake? What happens?
An earthquake is when the ground rumbles and shakes, and the plates are moving.
Excellent, yeah. Moving plates, the earth shakes, and his chains basically fell off. Paul could have escaped, but he didn't. He stayed because he wanted to share the gospel. He wanted to share the good news, and his jailer actually became a Christian. So he's probably here, the jailer somewhere, I'm not sure where he is, and his family, they were all baptized. So they're still here. And there'll be other people that have become Christians since then. But Paul's actually left. He's moved on. He's gone elsewhere with the gospel because he wants to tell other people. But we've heard from him. We've got news. And actually, Paul's in a bit of bother. He's ended up in jail again because he's sharing the good news. So he's in a bit of trouble. So actually, I think we want to help him because we really love Paul. We've stayed in touch with him. He brought the gospel to us and we love him. We want to help him. So is Epaphroditus in church this morning? Yes, Epaphroditus, on you come. Right, we've got this gift, okay? And this gift is for Paul. So Epaphroditus, that's quite a long way, so you'll be a couple of years probably. But if you could be quite quick, that would be helpful. Take it to Paul and just see how he is. Could you let us know how he is? Thank you very much. Right, Epaphroditus is off with his gift. to Paul, and we'll see what he comes back with in a couple of years. So we're still worshiping, we're singing, we're learning more about the gospel, and then, oh, is that Epaphroditus? Can I hear him coming back? Actually, he's got quite poorly while he was away. Did you know Epaphroditus is sick? He's fallen ill, but, oh, is it, Epaphroditus is back, come on in. Oh, we missed you. And we heard you nearly died. Yeah, but are you doing all right? Well, you look at, oh, turn it around so everyone, what's Epaphroditus got? What is it? Can anyone tell me what it is? It's a letter. Yeah, it's a letter. And it's, who's it to? Is it for us? What does it say? It says, all the saints in Christ Jesus. Well, saints, they're those kind of super-duper Christians, aren't they, that all buildings get named after. Andrew, he was one, wasn't he? That was John, some villages get named after them. Is that what a saint is? Actually, when we read the Bible, a saint is simply someone who believes in Jesus, someone who's become a Christian, who says, I'm in Christ, he's my king, not Nero or me or anyone else. So that's right. That's kind of us, but it can't be for. It says all. Surely it can't be for all of us. This couldn't be. Surely, let's have a look. Paul, the Apostle Paul, isn't going to be thinking of all of us. So, what have we got in here? We've got a letter, right? All. It's not for the children. Surely it's all the grown-ups. Just no. All. Not just the important ones. Not just Lydia. No. All. What about Eudia and Syntyche? Are they here? They had a bit of a bust up. They don't get on that well. They're probably at opposite ends of the building. It can't be for them. No, all. It really is for all of us. What is Paul going to say? That's for you, Epaphroditus, for me, for everybody. Well, we're going to hear. We're going to listen. Not to all of it, just to the first little bit. And I wonder if the first thing the Philippians were probably thinking is, how is Paul? We really love him. We hear he's in prison. I wonder how he is. So maybe have that question in your minds as we hear it read, and we need someone to read the letter, actually. I wonder if, Nick, would you do that? Brilliant, thank you. So we're just going to read the first 11 verses. Thank you very much. You can have a seat, Epaphroditus, if you want to. You can stay here or you can go.
Use the microphone so you don't hear. So it's from Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Nick, very much. Now, this question might be a little bit more for the grown-ups, but if you have any ideas, how is Paul? From those first few words that we've heard from Paul, he's languishing in prison. How is he? What sense do we get from how Paul is doing? How does he feel? Anyone?
Optimistic.
He sounds quite optimistic. Yeah, good word. What were you going to say, Andy?
Cheerful.
Cheerful. That's a good word, yeah. That's a bit unexpected, isn't it? He seems quite joyful, almost. In fact, he says that he's praying. If I could have the slide up, please, that would be great. That he is praying, next one, with, and then the next one, joy. Paul is praying, and he's filled with joy. Now, what brings you joy? I'm looking now at the, I'm going to get back down again. What sort of things make you happy? Think of the last few weeks of the summer. What brings you joy in life? Anyone want to share anything? Yeah.
Butterflies make you joy.
Butterflies. Well, butterflies do, don't they? Great, great answer. What else? Anyone get any other answers? What else? What brings you joy? Yeah.
Friends and family.
Friends and family. Good answer. Anything else bring you joy? Make you happy? Yeah.
Food.
Food brings me a lot of joy as well. Man after my own heart. Well, if one more maybe, what makes you happy? Go on, Toby.
Getting new shoes.
Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs bring you joy. Yeah, they do. There's all different, loads of different kinds of things that bring us joy. Toys, yeah. Now, the joy that Paul is describing here, it's a bit like that kind of joy, actually. It is a sense of feeling happy. But it's also a deeper sense of joy as well. It's more like the kind of joy you get when you think of friends and family, when you think of those you love. So maybe a close friend, maybe mum or dad, brother, sister, son, daughter. When you think of someone you love, there's a sense of joy, isn't there, that even when your circumstances are not very happy, even when we're going through a hard time, when we think of those people who love us and who we love, there's a sense of joy that is deep down that won't go away. That's the kind of joy that Paul is feeling. And he's praying with joy. And I wonder if he's sharing that with the Philippians right at the start of this letter, because he wants them to know how he's doing, but he also wants them to be the sort of church that prays with joy. He wants them to be joyful too, no matter what they might be going through. And he wants them to be prayerful. And I think that's what God wants to say to us as well through this first little part of the letter. He wants us to pray and he wants us to be joyful. But what is it that's going to help us to do that? What is it that's going to help us to pray with joy this term and as we go forward as a church? Well, if I could have the next slide on the screen, please. There's a verse right at the heart of what Paul is saying. He says, in all my prayers with all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Partnership in the gospel. Paul sees the Christians in Philippi, from the youngest to the oldest, from those who've been Christian a long time to those who've only just come to faith, those who are soaring in their faith, those who are struggling in their faith, those who are Euodia and Syntyche, they're sort of not getting on very well. There are issues in this church just like there are in any other church. But Paul considers them all his partners in the gospel, with him. Even as he's in prison in Rome, he knows they're with him. And so we need to start to learn more and more to see ourselves and each other as partners in the gospel. So the gospel, that's the good news about Jesus. We've already been talking about that. That Jesus came to rescue us. That he's working in us and changing us. And that we have a future to look forward to be with him. That gospel brings us joy. But it's when we remember that we are all partners in that gospel, that that joy can grow and grow. Now, I've got something else. Does anyone know what this is? What is it, Toby? It's a skipping rope. Great. Now, this skipping rope, this is an illustration now that works to a point, but we'll have a go with it. Now, we're not going to use it as a skipping rope, we're going to use it for a game of tug of war. Does anyone know how to play tug of war? Well, okay, so hands are going up. So I'm going to lay it down, I just don't touch it for now. In fact, what I want us to do is we're just going to look at it, okay? So just look at the rope, and that's how we're going to play tug of war. Does that work? Is it working? Is it? Who's winning? Of course it's not working. You've got to grab hold of the rope. You've got to take part. If you just watch it, that's not playing the game, is it? And the gospel, being a Christian, we sometimes think of ourselves as kind of spectators, don't we? We come to watch other people do it. We come to cheer on, maybe, but we're fans. But actually, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel that Paul shared, the one that we have heard, is something that we all, as soon as we believe it, start to take part in. We need to take hold of it, and we take part in it. Now, so, okay, who, kind of one volunteer to play tug of war. Great. Could you tell me your name?
Leanne.
Say it again.
Leanne.
Leanne. Could you grab hold of one end of the rope for me? Right, okay, now I want you to play tug of war. Go. Does that work?
No.
What do you need? How are you going to play tug of war?
We've got to skip over it.
Oh, well, that would be skipping, wouldn't it? Yeah. Now, does anyone else? What does Leanne need to play tug of war? Go on, Matilda.
Another person.
She needs another person. Could you be that other person for me? Can you grab the other end of the rope? Brilliant. So if you both hold it, right, I'll be the middle. If you hold it nice and tight, okay, now we're not going to pull it too hard, but let's stretch it out so it's nice and tight. Nice and tight, nice and tight. Right. Okay, so now it's the first person. We'll move a wee bit that way. Let's make it fair. If we move a wee bit that way. Okay, so now I want you to try and see if you can get off the mat. Okay? And you see if you can get off the mat that end. This can't go wrong, I'm sure. Right, go. 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 Well done, Matilda. Matilda won. Okay. Right, you can put the rope down. Thank you very much. Okay. Can you pop it? We can have a go with it later, maybe outside. We'll have a proper game of tug of war. I'm sure parents will be delighted to hear that's what we're planning to do. It's an illustration, but do you get the point? You have to take part, and you have to take part together. And that's the gospel that we believe. That's the gospel that we are going to be learning more and more about as we look through the book of Philippians. But right at the outset, Paul says, I'm praying with joy because you are taking part in it with me. In lots of different ways. They're not all apostles going out from town to town preaching in synagogues. And they're all doing their own thing, but they're doing it together, and they're partnering in the gospel from youngest to oldest. If we are going to be a church that can learn more and more to pray with joy, we need to see ourselves as those who take part in the gospel. So whether we're serving coffee, or we're giving the talk, or we're doing the sound, or we're at school trying to witness, or we're praying at home, or we're reading the Bible with our family, or we're giving money to gospel work, all of that is taking part in the gospel. And that brings us joy when we do it and when we think of others who are doing it on our behalf. Now, that sounds a bit daunting. If you've still got your Bible there, just look at verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. Paul, as he thinks about them as part in the gospel, he's not thinking, you've got what it takes, Philippian church. You are one of the best churches I've planted. You've got what it takes. That's why I'm praying with joy. No, they're a church just like any other church with all their strengths and faults and weaknesses and everything. Paul is praying with joy because God's got what it takes. He who began a good work in you, the moment you believed, he's still working in you and he will carry it to completion. God has got what it takes for us as well. We can pray with joy as partners in the gospel, not because we're great or because we think we know how to do it all, but because he is at work in us and he has been and he will be. Increasing prayerfulness and increasing joyfulness will come as we see ourselves and each other as partners in the gospel. It's a new season for us as a church, for all of us in lots of different ways. My hope and prayer is that it will be a season marked by us growing in our joy and in our prayerfulness as we learn what it means to pray with joy and see each other, whatever our roles and gifts and strengths and all of that, as we see each other as partners, those who are taking part together in the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the gospel, the good news that we have heard, that we have to experience, that we are growing in, that we have to share. Please would you help us all, saints in Christ Jesus, here in Sherborne St. John and in the surrounding areas, help us all to pray with joy as we see ourselves and see each other as partners in the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.